Jack and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show, entertaining real estate investment talk. I'm Jack Butella.
I am Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about or provide a list, a comprehensive list of ways to acquire undervalued property, and then, as always, give you our opinion of the ones that have worked best for us over the last 20 years. Seriously.
That's what every woman wants to hear. Every man wants to hear. I'm going to tell you this, and then I'm going to give you my opinion.
How should it go?
I don't know. It just kinda,
seriously. Like, how do you get a girl?
Not that way.
Tell us how. I want to know. Yeah, the whole world wants to know this show.
Gosh, you don't give your opinion. Okay? Let's just talk about this. When we come to you and ask you a question, we do not want your opinion. We only want you to support us. Period.
Like, does this property make me look fat?
Bigger than that. You know, like, sweetheart, I don't know. What do you think about this diamond? Oh, babe, you need bigger. We want you to be always positive, always building us up, always telling us we're beautiful and smart. Not like...
What if it's not true?
You know, that really does not go with your hair color. Did you, you know, or why did you buy that car? Or, I don't know.
Are you speaking from experience here?
Oh, my gosh, yes. So,
I mean, recent experience?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
What the heck?
Jack, I love you. Okay. No, I'm not. Not recent. I'm just kidding on that. But
I don't think so. I think
there's times that...
I don't think you're kidding.
A lot of them... We really don't want your opinion. You know, I'll just leave it at that. We want you to help us justify our decisions. That's it.
What if it's standing by as a man, head, and you're watching it all headlong into fireball disaster?
Oh my gosh, because if you don't let me figure that out on my own, you're the bad guy.
What the heck?
It's the truth.
Why is this been, as a civilization, we've been around for so long. How do we even survive together?
I don't know. But we need to. You need to let me just. If I'm gonna make the mistake, let me do it.
Oh, now it's becoming personal too.
No, I don't mean me.
What did you do?
No, as a woman. Anyway.
This is a talk for another show.
Yes, it is.
Before we get into it, even though we sort of just did, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the JackJill.com online community. It's free.
Okay, Jordan asks. So I have a parcel of land that I just put on Craigslist, and right off the bat, I received a question that actually threw me off. Though it's admittedly something I should have probably already thought of, because I'm still working on my first deal.
Good for you, by the way.
The question was simply if the land comes with mineral rights, and that's not something I know. The question then is how do I accurately determine mineral rights status? Oh, I know.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I don't want to correct you in case you're heading off into a path and give you my
just
opinion.
Let me go.
Like that.
Do not give me your opinion.
Let's sit here. I'm gonna hang my mic up right now. It's a Jill show.
I'll tap you on the shoulder, but it's okay. And you can come back. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. So the mineral rights goes all the way back to the beginning. And the only true way to know this is to sit down and pull deed after deed after deed after deed after deed after deed. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jack.
I can't. I'm not allowed to talk.
Yes, you are. And come on.
The only way that the general way that mineral rights are conveyed is actually in the deed. Mm-hmm. So if you read any given deed, it'll say we're conveying this property and everything that's attached to it, fee simple, excluding mineral rights.
Right.
Vast majority of the deals that we do are like that, land deals. So at some point, Jill's exactly right. When you go back, at some point, that sentence won't be in there. That's when mineral rights either got withheld or didn't convey, and it's nearly impossible for people like us to figure it out.
Okay. So I want to make this, I want to say this one more time, just a little, I'm going to make it even simpler. So once upon a time, the first person owned the property, they had mineral rights. So, and they may have conveyed them, they may have conveyed them with the property. If they didn't, that's what Jack's saying. There's a clause in there saying, I'm giving you the whole property, but I'm keeping the mineral rights, the water rights, whatever I want to keep. So, and then what happens then, the next deed may or may not reiterate who still has those. That's why you have to go all the way back. Because what often happens is five deeds down the road, they go, oh, you know what? Why do we keep repeating that stupid clause? We don't need to keep saying who Bob Smith owns the mineral rights. We all got it. I'm just giving you the land. So here's when where we come in. We're 5 and 10 deeds later, and it doesn't say anything one way or the other. And that, I'm sure, Jordan, is what you're looking at.
Right.
You know, you're looking at the deed going, well, how do I know? It doesn't say it has them. It doesn't say it doesn't. So to solve this, everyone is. Because the way we do deals, we're in it to get in, get out, and just, you know, not spend a lot of time on it and just say, here's the thing. So we tell everyone, you're buying this for the property. We don't know. It may have them. It may not. If you want to find out, knock yourself out. You know, so you're buying this for the land and you're paying that price. And do we know that there's some people that have bought properties from us and then, unbeknownst to us, got some water minimal rights, and then it was worth way more than what they spent and all that good stuff? I'm positive that happened, and I'm happy for them. I don't care. That was a bonus, and that's kind of how we tell people, you know. So
that's the long way to answer your question, Jordan. You know, how do I accurately determine if I have mineral rights or if I own mineral rights in this property? And the answer is you don't.
Right.
You can just tell the seller you don't know.
Right. You got to go all the way back.
Really be straight about it and say probably not or right. No. As you can imagine, you know, the oil industry has a huge interest, a vested interest in whether or not they own the mineral rights to whatever they're drilling. And they've spent, you know, billions of dollars trying to figure this out. And in the end, what happens is when they find oil, they wait for somebody to contest it.
Right.
And this could be billions of gallons afterward.
I have a question. Do you think that the majority of the properties that are valuable, they are have some mineral or oil or water asset, everybody knows it, and it's properly conveyed? So, I mean, what percentage of the time do you think, Jack, that...
It's correctly conveyed?
No. Let me ask the question a different way. What percentage of the time do you think that, if it's not even talked about, it probably doesn't exist, so don't. It's probably not an issue, so don't even go there.
I mean, it only ever comes up when somebody contests it.
It's true.
And which I don't think is very often.
Yeah.
Here's an example. Jill and I, you may or may not know this, but we purchased a property in New Mexico with an oil well on it that was generating.
I know.
We had an active lease.
I saw the paperwork coming in.
Right.
That we can get money.
Yeah. So, and we bought a property, and there's an active, I think it was natural gas. And it wasn't a lot. It's like, I don't know, it was a lease. They were pulling whatever they wanted to pull out, and I think it was like $1,200 a year.
That's exactly what I remember, like $300, $400 a quarter.
Right.
That they'd say, hey, you want it? I don't know where to send you a check.
Do you think that the people who are pulling do you think that we own those mineral rights on that property? No, I really doubt it. And do you think that the company that was pulling whatever they were pulling out of there owned them? I really doubt it.
That's true.
What they were doing, I think, is leasing the surface rights from us so that they could do their business.
Right.
This gets very complicated, and quite honestly, it sounds like a dream, you know, a great novel. It would make a great novel, but in fact, it caused problems for us selling that property. We ultimately did sell it, but it's like, man, it's just out of our wheelhouse. It's too far away from what we regularly do, which is just buy a piece of property and sell it.
For the property. Yeah. That's why we're here, to make it easy. We're trying to sell a property for a beautiful treed fishing site for someone to put a cabin on.
Yes, exactly.
That's really the end game here. And we want them to, and that's the people that we want to work with, that they're like, oh, I just want to put my cabin here and fish and hunt and put a tent up with the kids or whatever it is. That's the beauty of this. So otherwise, we'd be doing commercial stuff and seeking these out, and that's not our game. There's a lot of work.
Right. Today's topic, this is a list of ways to acquire undervalued property in the universe of possibilities. This is the meat of the show. I'm going to quite simply list them, but please bear in mind, they could fall into one of two categories. The first category being, you got to get up in the morning and go find them. And the second category, which we prefer, let them come to you.
I like this. Are you going to tell us as we go through?
I'm actually pleasing you today.
You are, Jack.
Should I give my opinion? I'm just poking with her stick. She's going to reach across the studio here and bonk me.
It's all good.
Prospecting, advertising, networking. Looking for vacant houses, knocking on doors. Imagine getting up today. Putting your galoshes on based on the weather.
Galoshes.
Isn't that funny?
Who says galoshes?
Jack, how old are you? And knocking on doors.
I'm sure number three doesn't even know what galoshes are. I'm going to test him later.
working this for sale by owners list, driving the neighborhood, driving for dollars. Houses for sale. Oh, geez, here we go. Advertising, postcards, letters. You can work probate lists. You walk, go down to Los Angeles County. Imagine today, you wake up in the morning, go down to Los Angeles County, because you don't have a job or anything.
Right? Oh, no. Yeah, I got all the time in the world here.
Go down to the probate area. The people, all the people who have died recently and their houses are in estates.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Send their kids a letter.
Sure, that's easy. That's always a nice thing to get.
Mail them a postcard, which is on the right track, actually.
Can you imagine getting a postcard? Hey, I noticed your dad died.
Mail him a postcard. Mail everybody a postcard that says, I'm really interested in buying your property. What do you think is going to happen then? You're going to have 7 million phone calls. Again, because you don't have anything better to do. You don't have a job, and you're just kind of figuring it out.
Give us more. I want more. If you don't mind. I have some.
Go ahead.
Because I had trustee sales.
Okay, trustee sale.
Eviction.
That's an auction, so you have to go to an auction, stand there, figure it out, and you don't really know what you're buying. Eviction notices, you can track those back and figure out if the landlord is so frustrated and the house is so destroyed that you want to buy it in a distressed situation. These are all distressed situations.
This is deferred maintenance.
Driving for dollars.
Abandoned.
Right.
Out-of-state owners. Wait, one of my favorite ones.
Tax liens. Tax deeds.
Unsafe red-tagged homes. I just heard about this and I thought, wow.
That's a fire department situation, and whatever the governing authority is on that, they tag the house, and you only know this really by, I don't know, I guess you can get a list, but still, you're proactively searching to find this list and then working it. You have to look up every property to see if it fits your acquisition candidate.
So here's what I hear you saying, Jack. So I could do these things, and I could spend a week working on a list and maybe have 100 to work with.
Yeah, that's
now,
stretching it. Maybe,
right?
20.
Maybe 20. Okay, so now I've done all these things. I have maybe 20 that I think that meet my criteria, by the way. Let's even go there. Now I got to see if they'll sell to me.
And then let's not forget tax deeds and tax liens. All of these things have what we just described. All of them have one thing in common. You have to wake up in the morning, proactively go get a list, review each property in the list to see if you actually want to buy it. You're wasting hundreds and hundreds of hours to see if you can find a deal. Here's our way. Subscribe to a professional data company, and there's three of them, in my opinion, that are worth anything. Datatree, RealQuest, and
Black Knight.
Black Knight Title Pro 24/7. We're licensed providers for all three. Send everybody in a market, whether it's land or houses, an offer with a number in it that you're willing to pay for it. So now you're just researching prices. And yeah, oh, wait a minute, Jack. You just said you don't have to do anything proactive. Well, hold on. Hold on a second. Send everybody a letter, thousands and thousands of letters for less than 50 cents a letter. And then you sit back, take a sip of your Coke, light a cigarette if that's your into that kind of thing. That's too bad for you. I'm trying to paint a picture.
What the heck?
And see what comes back. Mm-hmm. And very, very predictable people will sign the letter, sign your offer, and send it back. Then you just have to look at that deal. You don't have to look at the tens of thousands of deals, letters that you send out. You don't have to analyze anything until you know the seller's ready to sell.
Right.
It makes so much sense.
Right. One of the things that I was just going to ask you about, Jack, I think that holds people back is I think that they worry about the cost of getting the data and the cost of sending a mailer and that. Will you please cover that, please?
Well, I mean, I can give you my opinion, but earlier on in the show, you didn't want that.
I do now.
You know, you're never going to live this down.
No.
I think you were talking about, these jeans make me look fat,
no,
not like,
here
you know.
It comes. I know it's coming. This is one of those beautiful topics that, and honestly, this warms my heart, everyone, that we have such an, our member community, I want to pause for a second, is like, we have a lot of really good people and we all, you know, help each other, play off each other. It's funny. I'm waiting. This is going to come up on a member call. Someone's going to go, oh, Jill, but I can't give you my opinion, can I? Like, right. Oh, they're going to do that to me. I know it. It's coming.
So
Kathleen will save me. Go ahead.
To address the upfront cost of mail, You just have to, got to get your head around it.
Right.
You know, contrary to what people say, getting started.
That's what I want to talk about.
Getting started in real estate investing is not free.
No.
You can make it really minimal and really make a ton of money with a very minimal upfront cost, like no other business I've ever seen. But it is, does it cost zero? No, it costs some money. You have to pay money. You have to get some, get offers in the mail. That's the best in education.
Well, you know what? I think one of the first things that people need to plan on that doesn't cost money, well, it does kind of cost money, but it's your time. The number one thing I think people need to plan on is spending some time. You're not going to go buy a list. You're not just going to call up somebody, buy a random list, not know what it is, and massage it and do it and just blast out in the mail. You really need to learn this a little bit.
Learn.
So you, because you want
that
to do
is
it right.
Money.
Right. You don't want to just go, hey, I just got a list of all the property owners in this county. I'm just going to mail them all an offer. Well, hold on a moment. You don't want to mail everybody that has a mortgage because you see, they can't even make a decision. You got to take those out. See, there you got to learn that. And you want to make sure that, you know, you price them right. So you got to learn that. You know, there's some things, and that all that is upfront more time, I think, than money. So, but I tell you, spending that time and learning it, yeah, it might take you a couple weeks.
Right.
You know?
And
more. Right. And then some people it comes naturally, some people it doesn't. But man, if you can just wrap your head around that, you will win. And that's my point on this whole thing for me, Jack, is you and I win when we buy it, but we win before we buy it because we know what we're putting our offer in on and we know what it's worth and we know how it's going to go.
We win when the mail goes out.
That's right.
I can tell you, it's a very predictable outcome.
Yes.
The way that we do it.
Brilliant.
When we buy land, here's the numbers. When we buy land, about for every 150 to 200 letters that go out, we buy a piece of property. This is rural vacant land. This is not a building site in Manhattan. That's not what I'm talking about. Rural vacant land. And generally info lots, the same numbers. For houses, we buy one property for every, I'm being very generous here, 2,500 units that we send out. So it costs about, I don't know, retail, it costs 50 cents to send a letter out-ish. It costs us less because we have agreements, but so it costs 750, what did I say, 2,500? It costs, you know, $1,200 to send out an offer, and we generally make about $40,000, $20,000 to $40,000 per wholesale on a house.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an acceptable number? I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Return on investment, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
With land, it's staggering. Land is where you really can hit a home run. You know, it costs $50, $50 to $100 in mail, between data and mail. Mm-hmm. To land a property that you can easily make $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. So those are the numbers. And but my whole point of the show is, and we'll wrap it up on this, there are proactive ways and then there are relatively passive ways to make, to get to the same results. And you don't need to make this a full-time job times and then start hiring employees to review tax lien lists to see which property you're actually going to buy. It's really time intensive and energy intensive.
I would like to add that we all as a society are now finally understanding what you have known, Jack, for your whole life, which is let the stupid data work for you.
Yeah, it's all about the data. It really is.
I mean, quit. Just call a spade a spade. Do you really want to go knock on doors or do you want to use data to tell you even whose door to knock on? There you go.
Yeah, I will say that they all work.
Huh.
I'm not knocking it. There are people that have their whole career, they've knocked on doors in the middle of the day and talked to and found a person and they do a deal a week.
And you know what? And that's fine. And
yeah.
They're happy making
and
that $50,000 or $60,000 a year. Well, you know what? That's not enough for us.
Well, I think they make a little more than that, but I'll tell you, they work a lot harder for it.
That's true.
You know,
and they can't,
there's no way you can do
you
that.
You can't scale
a job.
Well, you can't scale too, that we talked about
right.
too. That's the thing. You're limited to how many hours you have.
Right.
And
exactly.
So, thank you, Jack.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 20 minutes with us listening to the Jack Jill Show. Join us tomorrow, where we discuss how to price these offers we just talked about. How to price house offers specifically.
Nice. I love it. And we answer your question. Should you have one, post it on our online community. You can find it from jackjill.com.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Good stuff, Jill. You're right. I've known about this for a long time. We don't talk about the obvious stuff enough.
Isn't that funny? I mean, back to that business channel that I keep finding, you know, that new business channel that I found, the Wharton School or whatever, on Sirius Radio, and I'm not plugging them. I don't get anything out of it, but it's just like, I can't stop listening.
You notice how I'm agreeing with everything you say now? Jill, you're right.
What?
Jill, you're pretty.
The in. Heck?
You're right.
Wow,
you're,
all I did beautiful. Was change my radio station, and now you're in, Nui? Anyway.
Right.
Anyway, the point is, they were having a whole discussion about data. Data, data, data,
oh,
data,
really?
Data, data, data. I'm like, duh, 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 duh.
Really?
Yep, that's all I could say. But for some reason, as a society, we're just figuring this out. So kudos to you, Jack.
All right.
Share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And while you're at it, rate us there, please. We are Jack and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.